Greetings and welcome to the PATC podcast. My name is Mark Waterfill. I am the president and owner of Public Agency Training Council, which is the country's largest and longest running provider of seminars and training for law enforcement, firefighters, public officials, and public employees. We really appreciate you listening. We have a wonderful guest with us here in this episode, Jamie Getz. Am I pronouncing your last name correctly?
It's Getzy, but that's just Getzy. Fine.
All right. Yes. All right. Very well. Very good. Well, tell our audience a little bit about yourself.
I'm Jamie Getzy, and I am a therapist out in Washington State. I have significant history in crisis response, where I ran a crisis team for about 3 years and switched over to do some clinical therapy work just so I could have that experience. I'm a doctoral candidate as of 1 week, and I am about a year out from completing my doctorate. I have a master's of science in psychology, and I'm just a lover of knowledge.
So where in the Pacific Northwest do you live?
All the way up at the very tippy corner. I'm basically in Canada. Now, this is going to sound silly. You ever heard of Twilight?
Yes.
That's my town.
Oh, really? That's tremendous. Well, it's absolutely beautiful up there.
It's a wonderful place if you are a lover of hiking and the mountains and the ocean. It's definitely gorgeous.
Absolutely. So where are you going for your doctorate?
National University. It's an online, fits well with my schedule. I got a couple kids and it's just the girls and I, and that's where school is. School's really important to me. Just completing that education. You know, I'm the only person in my family from both sides of my family to have a higher education degree. So I'm just setting an example for my girls. So online school is what works for me. And so National University it fits me for the type of degree that I'm searching for.
Fantastic. And tell me a little bit about your professional background.
So right now I'm a therapist for a really great agency called Community Integrated Health Services. And I have a caseload of roughly 50 people. And this agency we hold and treat the highest acuity clients. So people with really extreme cases of schizophrenia or suicidal, homicidal ideation. I also work for a psychiatric hospital. When I get off work, I go home and I work from home for a psychiatric hospital where I do diagnosing and just kind of put people where they need to go and get them seen. So that's been really fun. I've been doing that for about 4 years. I hold a couple positions.
What prompted your interest in teaching law enforcement?
I ran the crisis team out here. I got to build a really, really wonderful relationship and definitely some connections with all of the law enforcement agencies, our state troopers, our sheriff's department, and just my regular perfect town and city police departments. It just dawned on me that not that they were overutilizing us, but there was not a lot of information at hand. The population that they serve out here is mental health. Our mental health community is very large out here. And so I think it's relatively important to provide law enforcement with the types of things that they're going to come across, especially with the increase in mental health calls.
And what kind of situations do you find yourself or do your students find themselves in?
The clientele?
In that regard, yes.
What I've come to notice is that and it's very simple, it's just that basic needs are just typically not met. And basic needs for our mental health community looks like shelter, food, are they on their medications? And when they're not, it's just kind of a recipe for disaster. Also, a lot of substances. There's a lot of substance abuse out here, especially with the mental health population. And if that's a factor, it also just adds to that poor choice recipe.
Do you see opioid and heroin abuse?
Oh, yes. Fentanyl is our number one substance out here. And it's really sad to see. But, you know, we treat what we treat and try to make our community better.
So tell our audience about the classes that you teach.
One wonderful class in person, it's called The Mind Behind Abnormal and Deviant Behaviors. And this class is 2.5 days long, so we get to hang out for a total of 3 days. We're going to go over deviant and atypical behaviors. Those are the typical mental health diagnoses that we might see out in the field, co-responders, law enforcement, and how we can, law enforcement's not treating them, but how they can be understanding or a little empathy goes a long way. Just what we can go over and how to make law enforcement successful. But we'll talk about like crisis involvement, when it's appropriate to contact the DCR, if a DCR is something that their state has to offer. And we'll go over basic needs. The next day, we'll talk a lot about sexual deviant behaviors, and that's the majority of the paraphilias and a lot of stimulus and case studies. And then we'll also touch on suicide and self-care for officers because their job is really hard. Yes. I'm also scheduled to do some webinars for you. We'll do one webinar for sexual deviant behaviors, and then we'll do another webinar for abnormal behaviors.
The webinars have certainly gained popularity since the pandemic. They're a great way for our students to collect a couple of continuing education hours without having to travel. We also record them, and they're available for resale on our website. So now I know that you have taken several classes from PATC because I think I met you when you were there. Which classes did you take before becoming an instructor?
So my very first class was the hostage negotiations course with Jack Cambria, and what a treat that was. Right. I really benefited from that, and I was definitely the only clinician in class. So just to see and learn from a law enforcement perspective was very intriguing. And then when I switched over to clinical, I noticed that I needed certain trainings, specifically because of the population that I serve. I did a sexual deviance course with Wayne Shepherd, who is probably my idol. I've just learned so much from him. He's definitely the bee's knees. And I also took death and homicide investigations, and it was half Wayne and Don Haley, who is just an incredible ball of energy and knowledgeable. Just what a fantastic staff that this agency has. And I'm so grateful and proud to be joining as an instructor.
Well, we're so happy to have you as well. In your class, what drove you to want to present on these particular topics?
I think that, well, specifically in Washington State, the way law enforcement is going towards utilizing mental health with them as a corresponding unit. And I was, because it's new, I took that hostage conference with this agency, and I was able to listen to one of your instructors from Lubbock, Texas.
Andy Young.
Yes, Andrew Young. And he was telling us about his unit. And I remember coming home and talking with our law enforcement agencies about it and just seeing what like we could get started as a team, because we just had a crisis team, not anything attached to law enforcement. And our law enforcement out here is just becoming informed and how it would be useful to have an MHP attached to them. So I just want to be a pioneer in this field and really help law enforcement with whatever they might need so that they can do the things that they want to do. The increase in mental health calls is just something that, yes, they have to do. That's something that I could do if I was attached, or that's something that my colleague could do if they were attached. So I think it's just important to provide them the knowledge when to utilize mental health professionals and when not to, so they can go save the day, because that's what they need to do.
Well, it's very, because in our previous episode, I interviewed Harry Drucker from Los Angeles. And he is with the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. And one of the new procedures that he helped to implement was having mental health professionals go on crisis calls. And mm-hmm. at times, they are the only professionals who go on crisis calls, you know, as long as there's not a weapon involved or some danger to others. And I think that follows right along with your push in Northern Washington State as well.
Yeah, Washington State sure is different. It's a beautiful state. It's a great state to live in. But we definitely lack that connection between mental health providers and law enforcement. It is happening, just not as fast as we probably
like. I'm sure. So when you're not teaching and you're not giving counseling, what do you do in your free time?
I love to hike. I love to be on the water. Washington State has beautiful crystal clear lakes and oceans and beautiful mountains. So I'm always exploring with my daughters. And I'm right now just preparing my eldest daughter for college next year.
Oh, fantastic.
That's my life right now.
Well, that's fantastic. And you certainly live in the right area of the country to enjoy hiking and kayaking. And it's absolutely beautiful. It's stunning.
It is. I'm really grateful to live in a beautiful area.
Well, thank you so much for appearing on this episode of our podcast. And we genuinely appreciate our relationship with you and know that you're going to be successful in all the classes that you teach.
Thank you so much for having me.